So don't hold back. Okay? Don't hold back. There's power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in praise and worship. If you have chains today, they're going to go in the name of Jesus. I am proclaiming that because the Jesus that I serve is powerful and mighty to the pulling down of every stronghold. Hallelujah. Thank you. In awe of you, we worship and stand amazed at your great love. We're changed from glory to glory. We said hold back. Just lift it up.
As we worship, I believe you are here. Blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power forever, forever. Blessing and honor and glory and power forever, forever. Blessing and honor and glory and power forever, forever.
Hallelujah. Bless your name, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you have a name above all your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
How many are learning a little bit more about faith than you knew before? Is that it? How many are learning a little bit more about faith than you knew before? Growing in grace and in faith. You know, we've spent literally years on really battening down the hatches on the theme of grace. And I don't know about you. Well, I do know. I know a lot of you. That has completely and thoroughly changed my life. Not everybody's understood it. There have been those that haven't stayed with us as a result of it. But those that have stayed in there and caught a hold of the revelation of the grace of God, what it really means, how many have discovered it is the most liberating thing there is in life. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm so glad to be delivered from fear of the future, fear of the past, fear of the present. I'm not saying I don't struggle once in a while, but it's not without the knowledge of knowing that God never leaves me. Hebrews 13:5, never leaves me. He has promised He will never leave me nor forsake me, so that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear. Are you here this morning? I'll not fear what man can do to me. I'm so glad for grace. The perfect love of God that according to John, that perfect love for me, undeserved, but eternal, unadulterated, pure love of God has delivered me from fear. Somebody in here needs to say that this morning. The love of God has delivered me. You struggling this morning? Hang around. Get a hold of the Word of God. His love, the more you know His love, the less fear will have a grip on you. Are you here this morning? So we are in the middle of a series on faith, the spirit of faith. Now, how many of you remember the verse that we've been quoting for the last however many weeks? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Can you say it to me out loud? God. Let's see if we can get that up on the screens and all say it together. That's pretty good. We got a lot better response than we did last week. Last week better than the week before. Let's all say it together. For God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, the spirit of fear can get lodged on the inside of you and literally render you helpless to move forward. I've heard so many people say, and you've heard me reference this over the last several weeks, how you doing, brother? Well, it's been tough. And they spend the next 10 minutes glorifying and praising the devil for all the rotten things he's doing in their lives. And I'm standing there, I can't hardly believe it. But, they say, I'm tying a knot in the end of the rope, and I'm going to hang on till glory. How many know that's no way to live? Paul said, we are more than conquerors. Are you here today? More than conquerors through Him. And here is the reason why. Through Him who loved us. It's a past tense deal. Aren't you glad for His love today? Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans 10:17. This is a scripture that I'm sure many of you can quote. Romans 10:17, but I want you to look at it in your Bibles. And here's what it says. Now, faith. Everybody say with me, now. How many can believe that right now? Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means that words from God are like buckets, containers of faith. That as you open your heart and open your ears, as you receive the word of God, it's like buckets of faith. Now, I'm using that strictly as an analogy, because as we move on, you'll find out that when you were born again, you got all the faith that you'll ever need. And that's more what this passage is referring to. But there still is a truth in this. The more you hear the word of God, the more the faith that you have is strengthened. Romans 12 tells us that to every man, we'll look at this more in weeks to come, but to every man is given the, not a, as the Amplified said in some other translations. The original Greek makes it very clear. It is absolutely true. We've looked at it. It is absolutely true. To every man is given the measure of faith. We all have the faith of God deposited. Here's how Paul put it. Remember, always interpret Scripture in the light of other Scripture. Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. How many are glad today for who Jesus is? Three of you. How many are glad today for who Jesus is on the inside of you? I'm crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live, how? By the faith. The life that I now live in the flesh. He's talking about right here in the here and now. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Again, here it is. Here's that theme again. Who loved me? This is why. Who loved me and gave himself for me. There's an old song that goes like this. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God, justified by the faith of Jesus. And it goes on. How many are living by the faith of the Son? Even the faith that you have, he even gave to you. Aren't you glad for that today? So we're going to talk about what this is and how it works, how it functions. We're going to be talking about the Spirit of faith. Romans 10:17 says, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we're going to look at another real common faith chapter. We're not going to take time to delve into it a lot today, because I got some other things I want to talk about, but this is one I've been wanting you to see. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. In the light of, didn't you enjoy that Kent Hovind video? Yeah. Wasn't that awesome? Turn with me to Hebrews 11. One of the keys to the book of Hebrews is you have to understand the audience. And you have to understand a little bit of history, the historical setting, and what was going on there. One of the major keys to Hebrews is, if you will simply look at what the writer is trying to do, the argument over whether the writer is writing to believers or not. I personally believe he's writing to a scattered group of hearers among whom are believers, but the text is for those who are on the fence or standing back just observing. Those of Israel, Jews, who are struggling with abandoning the old temple system, the sacrifice for sins, the priestly functions of the temple. They're having a hard time letting go of those things and realizing that Jesus alone is the only thing that can save you. So if you understand that, if you study the book of Hebrews, it opens right up and declares that Jesus was the express image of the Father. This is speaking of the same thing that Jesus himself did, seemingly in exasperation with the disciples, when he says to Philip, how long, and to the group, how long must I be with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what the Father looks like? Look at Jesus' earthly ministry. You'll see the heart of God. You'll see the heart of the Father. You'll see who he is. How many are glad for Jesus today? His whole point was to reveal the heart of God. Of course, he was God in the flesh. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. And you have to understand that there are certain passages that we've heard used on believers, and it has caused things to be very, very confusing. If you study the book of Hebrews, it starts out in Hebrews 1 speaking of who Jesus is. And immediately the writer of Hebrews begins to lawyeristically, I mean, line upon line, thought with thought, against thought, as I say, lawyeristically, defend the person of Jesus as the only way to salvation. He is pleading with the hearers, you must leave this other stuff behind, for Jesus now stands alone as your Savior. And I have a question, the Holy Spirit, for you, that the Holy Spirit presented to me one day in prayer and in study. He said, what is the writer trying to do? He is trying, you know, and I was looking. I mean, I kept reading. He told me to read 3 through 6 over. I read them, I don't know how many times over. And then all of a sudden it hit me. It was almost like an audible voice when the Lord spoke to me and said, who is he trying to get them to receive? And all the lights turned on. The book of Hebrews since then has been a beautiful, beautiful picture of my and yours, hopefully all of you, personal living Lord, King, Savior, Alpha Omega. He who is without beginning and end. My personal Lord and Savior. Grace personified. Aren't you glad for John chapter 1 verse 17? It says Moses gave the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2 verses 11 and 12 that declare that grace appeared. Now grace has appeared to all men. Isn't that beautiful? Teaching them. Aren't you glad that grace appeared and teaches us how to live, to deny worldly lust, it goes on to say, and to live godly in this world. Aren't you glad we can live godly? Grace empowers us to be an example of Jesus. Come on, help me out. The less you help me out, the longer I preach. Okay, so there we go. And you know I can do that. So here's the deal. Now, in studying Hebrews, you'll find out if the book, and as you study and begin to break it down and understand who the writer is writing to, you begin to realize that most of this book is pleading with the hearers to go into Jesus. And the question the Holy Spirit asked me, he said, if they're not in Jesus, then where are they? They're lost. They're the holy brethren of Israel, but they are facing the biggest challenge of all. Can we dare to believe that the Messiah has come, that this Jesus is the one? So the whole book, when you look at it that way. Now, when you look at Hebrews 11, it opens up. All of us have heard this chapter on faith, but we want to go ahead and look at it. It says, now faith is, Hebrews 11 chapter 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, we've heard that preached every possible way you can imagine. And, you know, I believe that most of them are good because the principles are there. But if you understand who the writer is writing to, you know that this same theme that we see even this phraseology repeated through the book of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we see a principle here. We see the way faith looks, the way it operates. But I want to back up just a little bit, and I want you to realize the whole book is pleading with the hearers to receive Jesus. What did Jesus say in John 14, 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, everything's going to change. No man is going to get to God except through me. I'm glad for Jesus. Okay, so here's the deal. So when this, now getting to chapter 11, this today is not a teaching on Hebrews. I got some things I want to get to on faith. But if you'll begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what the book of Hebrews is, you'll begin to notice all kinds of things. In other words, you will notice right here what the writer is pleading with the ears all along. He's saying, why are you still pursuing types and shadows? The way he puts it in Hebrews 6, let's leave behind us the doctrines of Christ. And if you study the doctrines of Christ, it is a reference to an earlier verse in chapter 5, which talks about the principles of the oracles of God. He's speaking to Jews about the old covenant, the Torah, which speaks of the whole point of everything they did was there is a Messiah coming. And his name is Jesus. This is the whole point. Everything they do. So in the book of Hebrews, you see where he's saying, leave behind the doctrines of Christ or the Messiah. Leave these things and move on into perfection. We were sharing this, and we're going to pick up on this over weeks to come in our Bible school in spirit, soul, and body. But I felt like it'd be important for you to hear this morning. If you'll look at it, how many know that the number 6 is the number of man? He immediately begins to go and lay down the different doctrines that there were under the old Jewish system. And there are 6 of them. And we won't take the time to go there now, but it is the number of man and man's effort. He says, move past 6, go on into, he doesn't say 7, but that would be number 7, into perfection. The whole theme is Jesus, who is the only one who obeyed the law perfectly. Who is the only one who qualifies to be our perfect high priest? Perfection himself, number 7. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Okay, so right here we see another similar reference which says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Under the old law, they hoped for a Messiah. But he is telling them, faith has come, and it's come in the person of Jesus. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things for them now as well not seen. In other words, he came, he lived 33 and a half years in his ministry, and he raised the dead, healed the sick, declared the salvation of God, gave his life according to Ephesians chapter 1. He was raised from the dead by the exceeding great. Everybody in here say exceeding great. It was a big deal. It was exceeding great power of God that raised him from the dead. You don't see that phrase anywhere else. Exceeding great power. Why? Because with him, all of humanity, if they would put their faith in the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ, we were raised together with him, Paul says. How many in here today can rejoice that we were raised together with him? I'll tell you what, man, this is powerful stuff. Here he says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he begins to speak of the elders. The Jewish elders is who he's talking about. And he says, through faith, in verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed, a reference to Genesis chapter 1, the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. He says, through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Everybody say, Word of God. How were the worlds framed? They were framed by the Word of God. That means that God didn't just think something and believe it really hard. God saw the importance of opening his mouth and speaking that into existence. One more time, say, the worlds were framed. Do you know that you can begin to, and listen, there's been a lot of weird stuff spoken on this, and I've taken years to come back to this subject, but I believe that the body of Christ needs to get back a hold of a truth. We believe, and we're going to look at it again, we believe, Paul said, and therefore we speak. We've heard so much goofy stuff that it's become common to refer to what is called the Word of Faith movement. We hear mean-spirited things like, oh yeah, you're one of those name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. I understand the criticism, but you better be careful in what kind of a spirit you have when you're saying those kinds of things. I understand that there are extremes. How many know that every group on planet Earth that is run and led by human beings has a fault somewhere? There are extremes with every group. There are groups that claim they have found the perfect balance. They have found a way to ruffle no feathers and to gather the masses. And their imbalance has become so-called balance as the Holy Spirit is relegated to a broom closet. And although we pronounce, is it okay if I say this? Although we pronounce, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're really leery of anything that might offend or affect in a negative way the sensibilities of the hearers. How many know Jesus wasn't worried about that? He's saying, man, if you want life, I've got it. And here's how it is. It's not difficult. Here's the thing. We need to realize that God, I'm so glad for grace. Because now there's no need for competition. There's no need for me to ever wonder at all, ever again, about the way God feels towards me. I never again, I'm going to again quote to you Hebrews 13:5, which declares, and you can look at it, it declares, He has promised, I will never. You want to know what the word never means in the Greek? It means never. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly, I love that word bold. It's all throughout the book of Hebrews. Boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear anything man can throw my way. Notice it doesn't even reference God, because that's a given already because of the new covenant. He is for us, not against us. Aren't you glad for that today? So as we continue on, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then it begins to talk about by faith. Now I want you to jump on down. It begins to list what we call the hall of faith. One of the things that I find very interesting, it's not necessarily relevant to our topic today, but it's something that I want to challenge you, those that may be new to this understanding of grace, I want you to notice that this, which is referred to as the hall of faith, these men and women of God are listed right on down through chapter 11. And I want you to notice that every one of them are listed as heroes of faith, and there is not one word spoken about their humanness and their failures. Some of these people were a mess, but God honored their faith. Some of you in here today are a mess, but God will honor your faith. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes back on Jesus. You have never been. I remember years ago, Brother Osteen, he blessed me so much. Because I was a young guy trying to get a hold of this stuff. And we were in a pastor's conference. And he said, you know, he said years ago when we were struggling, he said, a little old church of 120 for 10 plus years. This is John Osteen, Joel Osteen's daddy. He said, I just knew that if I stayed faithful and kept preaching the goodness of God, eventually I'd find a crowd who believed in the goodness of God. And he did. And today they're reaching around the world. How many believe in the goodness of God today? Three of you. How many believe in the goodness of God today? He is good, and His mercy, the Word of God declares, endures forever. Hallelujah. Brother Osteen said years ago, he said, man, it was a struggle. He said, there were Sunday mornings you'd get up, and he said, here I was. He said, we were growing and things were happening. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, we began to catch traction. This was around in the 80s. And he said, next thing you know, we're in the barn. We've had to expand the old feed barn that's out there east of the 630 loop in Houston where they started. And wonderful place. I remember being in there at 16, 17, 18 years of age. Powerful stuff. Miracles. At that time, they were running around 3,000. He said, now we're growing. And he said, everything is happening. I mean, we can't hardly believe what God... He didn't put it that way, but he said, we can't hardly believe what God is doing all around us. And he said, you know, there were times when nothing changed. I'd be heading to church, and he said, everything seemed to go backwards that morning. And he said, the kids would start cutting up at that age in the back seat. And he said, I'd reach around and go to swatting legs and arms and saying, you kids settle down and behave. And then Dodie would start in on me for slapping the kids. And then we'd get in an argument, and we'd pile up into the church with all these people waiting. I've had a huge argument with my wife. I'm mad at the kids. I'm fuming. Everything's backwards. He said, I'd stand up in the pulpit and the devil would say, you hypocrite. And he said, the Holy Spirit that is so faithful told me, you're not preaching John Osteen. You're preaching Jesus. You can take care of that stuff after service, but right now you stand and you declare who Jesus is and the goodness of God. And he said, I learned something valuable. Those were some of the most anointed messages I ever preached. I've experienced that in my own life. I'm not making excuses for the flesh and getting over and doing things we shouldn't do, but we've got to realize that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Are you here today? Get your eyes off yourself. Get your faith in the one who did live it perfectly. I'm going to take a couple of moments and show you another scripture. Hold your finger right there in 11. Go over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's another often misquoted and misunderstood. Just keep it. It's not me playing with translations. Just look at the scripture. Because some things you have to look at context and realize what is the main thing the guy is preaching? What's his theme? And how does it fit? If there's a variance there and the possibility it could be translated two ways, let's look at the theme of Scripture and see what the Word of God says. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians and we'll get there real quick. You guys enjoying this yet?
Yes.
We're going to spend some time on faith. I believe some of you have been getting beat up long enough. It's time to do some devil hiney kicking. And you can do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Very well-known verse of Scripture. I'm sure there's half of you in here that could probably quote this right back. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Verse 3 sheds a little light on where he's going. In parentheses, it says, not in parentheses, excuse me, that's following. Verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. How many know that most believers are still warring after the flesh? There are people, they just can't get past a past hurt. They just can't seem to get past somebody that let them down. Somebody that proclaimed one thing and then they later on found out it was something else. And they've held that within themselves. Some cases they've held it against God. And it's sad that those things happen. I believe that men that are involved in those kind of things are going to answer. How many know that's hurtful to the body of Christ? But that has nothing to do. How many know there is no victim? Victimhood for those who are of faith. And more specifically, we're going to be talking about the spirit of faith and what it looks like. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. It's a military term. Places where the enemy has become entrenched in our thought life. Guilt, condemnation, fear, bitterness, all of these things where he has taken hold. Sometimes people are going to be smiling at you with the biggest smile in the world. And you see them, you know, worshiping, and you see them real open and vocal about their faith in God. But you spend some time alone with them, and after a while you find out these people are bound because they don't know the gospel. I mean, they've heard John 3:16, they've embraced Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they have no concept of what that actually means. We'll move into that. I got to move along. So here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here's how. Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations. You guys have heard me say this before, but I believe that what John said is literally true. And I trust God with that. And I speak it with my mouth. And I know it makes all the difference in life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says that you and I who have put our faith in Jesus have an anointing. Say with me this morning, I have an anointing. Come on. Are you here today? Say it with some confidence. I have an anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Say one more time, I have an anointing. Okay. 1 John 2, 27 says, once again, you have an unction. This is the same thing. You have an anointing from God, His presence, His Spirit living on the inside of you now because of faith in Jesus. And He says, you know all things. I want everybody in here to say it, whether you believe it or not. That's why we're talking about faith. You're going to get there. Say with me, I know what I need to know. If you'll dare to believe that, this is what the Bible says. Either it's true or let's hang it up and go become Mormons or whatever it is that makes you feel good. But if we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, I believe it makes all the difference in the way you marry, in the way you pursue life, in your career, in your relationships, in everything you do. How many know we are called to be a blessing? He says here, casting down imaginations. I believe that. Most of you that have been here for a while, certainly those in the Bible school, have heard the many of times I've referenced standing in the shower and the thought, vivid thought, imagination comes sweeping into my mind and I can see my boy Levi headlong in an accident, head smashing through glass. It's so vivid that I can almost hear it and see it. For me, that is not a time to fear. For me, that is a time to relax, lift up my hands. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I cast that down. I tell the devil, no, you don't. Levi gets home. Dad, you would not believe what happened to me today. About what time, Levi? 11 o'clock? Yes, I would. Last week we read over and over where Scripture says the just shall live by faith. I'm so glad that we've become seated and centered in grace because it shouldn't be a struggle anymore. In fact, the Bible says that those who've entered into faith have entered into rest and ceased from works. I'm very glad for Jesus today. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against what you know about your God. What do you know about your God? That's why we're here. We're going to know Him more and more and more. One of the biggest compliments I ever had was at a time of leisure with a dear friend of mine. And about, I don't know, 1-2 in the afternoon, out of the blue, he said, I've got to tell you something. For the first time in years, I have confidence. I'll never, ever, ever forget that. For the first time in years, I have confidence in my Father. You hang around here, you'll know what that's about. To know that no matter where I'm at, no matter what's going on in my life, no matter how well I may have lived it, it does not change His love for me. The just shall live by faith. You know how we know who the just are? Have you put your faith in Jesus? We're back to Galatians 2:21. He's drawing a picture for you and I in which he says, I was, by faith in Jesus, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, by faith, I'm adding the by faith, this is what he's getting ready to say, lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, in this world, in my frailties, in the fact that I will never get it 100% right. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, woo, and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Look at it. Casting down imaginations, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, here's the way most of you heard it. Here's the way most of us have been taught it. Here's the way we automatically go because of how most of us are geared to think in church. We heard, bringing every thought into the obedience, into obedience to Christ. You'll go crazy. That's not possible. How many have tried it? You might have deluded yourself into believing that you could bring your thoughts into obedience to Christ for a day. Most can't for 3 minutes or 30 seconds. You might have deluded yourself because of legalistic thinking, and you only understand laws of commission, that is what you commit, not understanding what Paul said, that everything that is not of faith is sin. So every time the Holy Spirit said, do this, and you said, I can't, and you went, it's sin, it's sin, it's sin, it's sin. Aren't you glad we have a Savior that's greater than all our sin? And it's today as I put my faith in Him, that's what makes the difference. Amen. Read your Bible and look at what it says. It says that right here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Whose obedience? Where's our faith? What's the theme? Where are we going with this? It's my faith in the only one who was obedient, according to Philippians chapter 2, humbled himself, set aside his glory, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but set aside his glory, humbled himself and became a servant, Scripture says, even unto the death of the cross. And through this, he has been given a name that is above every name that is named in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And at that name, it says that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess to that he is Lord. You want to know something really cool? As we move through, you're going to find out that that name was given to us. Jesus is not a curse word. It's the door to miraculous, supernatural living. The name of Jesus spoken by faith literally moves mountains. Oh, I've heard that so many times, Pastor Lee. Can we just move on to something? Tell us how to raise our kids. Our kids are driving us crazy. My wife and I hate each other. We're just at the point of, and we just talked to us about practical. Listen, you get centered in these areas. You get the main thing down. Watch as the devil begins to take a hike. When you stop giving him so much credit for everything that goes on in your life. Last week I gave the example of a guy that was invited out here, a well-known preacher. I invited out here to Arizona to go coyote hunting, and he was blown away. I don't mean to repeat the story, but for those of you who weren't here, it's a perfect example. He was blown away by all of the equipment and the camo. And then they got to the rabbit calls and the apparatus that they stick in the ground that flop around and look like a rabbit. And he said, we sat up high on this hill with high power rifles and scopes. He said, and this is a city guy. You know, he doesn't know anything about this stuff. He said, I couldn't believe it. But he said, I could see something flopping around and hear the bleat of a rabbit. And he said, in come the wolves, in his own words, coyotes. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, that is a perfect example of where most believers are at. They're bleeding and whining and crying about everything the devil is doing and they're calling in the wolves. I say it's time that we stand up and begin to declare some things and begin to take God at his word and quit whining and trust him. Prophesy into your future by saying what God's word says. Say, I tried that. Listen, you don't try that anymore and you can try to ride a bicycle. At some point, you got to trust it and go. Amen. We doing all right? Look at what he says. He talks about the obedience of Christ. How many are glad that he was obedient? Amen. He was tempted. That's why he qualifies as you're in my high priest. He was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. That means every sin that you can think of, that'll ruffle your religion, your nice little cookie cutter, you know, black and white waffle grid that we all like to think in. Every sin that can be thought of was presented to him and he overcame that temptation. Think about this. It's not a temptation unless it really tempted you. Try that one on for size. And everybody say, wow. Can you say it backwards? Wow. Come on. Going back to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Remember who is being written to. They're being urged to leave the old behind and to move over on into Jesus. So he makes a statement. I, as a believer, have been beat over the head with this scripture, applying it to believers. Now, there is an application for believers, and I'm going to bring that out. But we need to make sure we have number one nailed down first. And that is this. The writer is urging these Jewish hearers, you've got to leave the old. You've got to step over into Jesus. I got a question for you, the same one the Holy Spirit asked me. If they're not in Jesus, where are they? One thing for sure, they're not born again. That blew the book of Hebrews wide open. Here, he's saying, for without faith, it is impossible to believe God. How many of you ever heard that pointed at you? Boy, that's a big gun. Preacher stands up here, he's all impassioned, he's preaching away. And let me tell you, people, you gotta have faith. Some of you have been lazy. You don't love God enough. If you love God more, if you dedicate more time, give more, show up more, commit more, learn more, then God would. That's the law being imposed under the new covenant. And then you hear them say this, because you're not in faith, God cannot be pleased with you. For here comes, buddy, here's the big one. For without faith, it is impossible. He's distant. That's not what the book of Hebrews is saying at all. It's speaking of a personal God who threw His son Jesus, who shed his blood, causes us to be able to step into what is referred to as the throne of grace with boldness. Two words in the book of Hebrews stand out. Some of you need to write this down. Number one is bold. We've interpreted Hebrews to mean scared. Hebrews talks about hearers becoming bold. Another big word in the book of Hebrews is once. Once. Hebrews 10 says that this priest was like none other before him, and that when he shed his blood, this was done once for all. He is the first and only to sit down, not because he was tired. Some of you caught that. Amen. But because he was victorious, this is the one who said, it is finished. This is the one who said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. What am I doing? Most of you have heard this stuff before, but I'm trying to challenge you, strengthen you. People of God, we've got a job to do. All this escapism nonsense about, brother, the 10 times are here and he could come at any moment, and all the planets are lining up and the nations are lining up, and you know, we better just, you know, sell everything and get ready. He's coming. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. They've been wrong over and over and over and over and over again. They look like fools, but they're still selling you books at $25 a pop. You don't know when Jesus is coming back. It could be another 100 years. Get ready, 200 years or one. What difference does it make? He says, occupy till I come. These guys are clueless. They're banking a bunch of stuff, twisting scripture around, wasting tons of time. They're no different than the Jehovah's Witnesses who lure people in through end time teaching. Here's some end time teaching for you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. As he is, so am I in this world. I'm called to plant seed. I'm called to make a difference. I'm called to think long term. I like Martin Luther. If I knew for sure that he was coming back tomorrow, I'd plant an apple tree today. Occupy till I come. Quit worrying about it. I think these are the greatest days to be alive. It's so cool. You say, Google, it's Big Brother following you around. So what? If you don't got anything to hide, then you don't need to worry about it. But I'll tell you what. It is the neatest thing. I used to have a library that was wall to wall. And I thought I had to have all this stuff. Now, I still got it. It still has its place. But boy, is it fast to go, boom. Hey, Google, where does it say that Paul was shipwrecked? Wham. Rock and roll. Give me 6 translations. Vroom. That's pretty cool. Wonder what my bank account is today. Crap. Huh? You're right. You're supposed to say wow. Or if you get a little big, I'd say, he supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We're going to get into it, all right? Here we go. For without faith, you rotten, low down, just barely getting by, sinner of a Christian. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says my old man died. I was given a brand new creature. That creature was given to me to the exclusion of the old, Paul says in the Greek, and I was joined together in my spirit man with Christ Jesus. That is a sure salvation. For without a faith, it is impossible to please him. What he's telling them is, look, faith in Jesus. Jesus is the substance of things hoped for. He is the evidence of those things that you can't see. Let his faith come alive on the inside of you through the preaching of the word of the gospel. The good news that Jesus, my high priest, paid for it once and for all. See, faith is a lot bigger subject than, well, if you say it this way and you do it 3 times, then something might happen. That's not where it's at all. Okay? He says here, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Have you put your faith in Jesus? Then don't let there ever be a doubt again that you please the Father. Because you put your faith in Jesus. I'm not saying that everything you do pleases him. It's what Paul says in Ephesians 4:1. He talks for three chapters about the greatness of God in you and the complete work of God in the "it is finished" phrase. How that you were raised together supernaturally, seated according to Ephesians 2, quickened, made alive. He gave himself when we were yet dead in trespasses and sins. Are you here today? That's when he did it. When we were messed up, not when we got our act together. You start walking your way, and I'll start walking mine. We'll meet in the middle, neath that old... That's the way people think about God. You're not meeting in the middle. He did it all like a tidal wave. When you were dead in trespasses and sins, he gave it all. And it says that he caused us to be seated in heavenly places. Man, this is great, great, great power. Amen. Then when he gets to Ephesians 4, he says, now, walk worthy of the vocation, it says in the King James. Walk worthy of your calling in Jesus. What he's saying is, you are worthy, so walk like it. Here's how. Religion has it backwards. Flip it back around. He does the work from the inside out. How many are glad for that? How many see a few things on the outside you don't like? Don't be troubled. Let your faith be increased in Jesus. The author, Hebrews 12, the author and the finisher of your faith. Anybody can start anything, but he's a finisher, and he did once for all. So here it says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Now here's where, for those of us who have put our faith in him and know now that he is pleased with me, no doubt. I hope you can get a hold of that. No doubt, ever, ever again for me, ever, ever, ever again. I also believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Aren't you glad today he is still a rewarder? Romans 10:17 says, faith. How many walked in here this morning struggling? Just being under the word. You hear me say it all the time, and I'm going to say it again, almost every service. Jesus said, you are clean through the word that I've spoken to you. It's so important to be together like this. Church won't save you. Church won't keep you. Church doesn't make you one bit more holy. But you know what? Those who have no desire to be in unity with other brothers and sisters under the preaching, Paul said that it is the foolishness of preaching. It makes all the difference. And when we stand in a place like this and the word is being delivered, even if we're not grasping everything that's being said, there is a cleansing that takes place. How many are glad today for the cleansing of the word? Powerful stuff. Now, I want you to go back to Romans 10:17. Here it is on the screens. Faith then comes by hearing. We're going to come back to Hebrews 11 later, not today. But Hebrews 11, that tells us that faith comes by hearing. When faith comes, you know it. It is not a great secret where faith comes from. We just went through a lot of that. Faith is the byproduct of the Word of God. Sometimes we don't get it the first time around. I remember when I started this journey of faith, I had people that sat in here for 2 and 3 years and just fell apart in a service saying, I got it. Their life's been changed, transformed, freedom, confidence before God. 3 years. I got other people, 4 years. They said, I'm just now. It's like the rapture coming off. Listen, religion is tough, but greater. See, if we're preaching Jesus, you hear me say it all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul expressed frustration by those who stood in churches, synagogues, in churches and still preached the law. He said, for that reason, their eyes are still covered, veiled. The veil remains intact where Christ cannot be seen. Boy, it is my joy and my privilege every week in the best way that I know how to unveil more and more and more the person of Jesus. I believe the more you see him, the more your faith will be increased. And you, like the woman we talked about with the issue of blood last week, you'll hear the goodness and you'll hear the goodness and you'll hear the goodness. Oh, he'd be unveiled. And a little old gal, 12 years, been to all the doctors, done everything she knew, heard the love of God for the first time and said, I know that if I can but wrestle my way through and just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. That's faith. You know how I know it? Because Jesus turned around and said to her, daughter, your faith. You got more faith. You got more power on the inside of you than you could ever, ever, ever comprehend. I'm so glad for the message of grace, which has erased any fear before God. But as I've said before, and I reiterate today, it causes us to become, if we interpret grace wrongly, it'll make us lazy believers. Grace empowers you to rise above. For by grace, through faith, are you saved? And this is the same way that we live. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Faith comes and fear goes as a result. Fear leaves when faith comes. How's that for redundancy? God is a faith God. Boy, you can't get any more simple than this. We just read it, Hebrews 11:6. Faith gets God fired up. 2 Corinthians 4:13, our theme scripture for the last couple of weeks. 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Apostle Paul says, we having the same spirit of faith, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We believe and therefore we speak. Get a hold of this, people. Faith is voice activated. You can call it whatever you want, but this is Bible. Faith is voice activated. I've strained, I've believed, I've meditated, I've stood until the day that I got downright angry at the devil. I'm not saying that you have to be loud and you have to be crazy. I'm not saying that that's the need. What I'm saying is I arrived at a place where I didn't care anymore, and I shouted at the top of my lungs, you get out of my body and get out of this house. I've had enough. And that's when something broke. As long as I was willing to humbly and quietly and softly endure, the enemy accommodated me. Faith is voice activated. Paul says about this same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. Now, I understand he's talking about salvation, but understand the Word of God speaks about a myriad of things, and every one of them operate this same way. The worlds were framed by the Word of God that has never stopped. Hebrews speaks over and over again of a profession, homologio, confession. Not confession of sin, but confession meaning saying the same thing. So when we confess the Word of God, we're saying the same thing. A couple of weeks ago, we hit it hard. A lot of people caught it for the first time. When you stand and declare the Word of God, it is a perfect word of prophecy. You are stating your case at the top of your lungs, I hope, saying, I may not be there, but that's where I'm going, and that is mine, and it shall be because God has said so. And start moving feet that direction. We'll get more into that. The Apostle Paul quotes the psalmist David in Psalms 116, verse 10. That's why Paul says, we believe, therefore we speak as it is written. He's referencing David in Psalms 116, verse 10, where he says, there can be no doubt, where it says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. David had this same spirit. He killed a lion, a bear. We hit this at the tail end of our service last week. A giant, Goliath. More than 10,000 Philistines. Case closed. The man had a spirit of faith like Joshua and Caleb. The scripture says, as we read it to you a couple of weeks ago, speaks of Caleb who had a different spirit. Aren't you glad in Jesus we all have it? You'll just find out and put it to work. You'll be amazed at what God begins to do in your life. However, in Psalms, we see David dealing with overcoming fear. Psalms 27, verse 1, David declared the Lord. He opened up his mouth and he began to declare some things. He said, "The Lord is my light." Psalms 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord." Come on, you need to hear this morning. "The Lord is the strength of my life." Wow. "Of whom shall I be afraid?" Here we see David believing and speaking. The spirit of faith requires both. Can you get a hold of that? Can you get a hold of that? Can we begin to cast aside all the stuff we've heard about name it, claim it, blab it and grab it? I understand all of the excesses and all the imbalance, but listen, don't let the devil intimidate you from standing up and declare, opening your mouth and beginning to declare. Put the word of God to work the way God did and the way he told us to. Jesus did not walk by on the way to Bethany, see a fig tree, which is prophetic things there in reference to Israel all over the place, but he didn't walk by and just stop and have a mustache prayer. How many know what a mustache prayer is? You ever been with somebody who's afraid to pray in public? But they feel like they should pray before they eat their meal. You know, they're at Denny's and they go... The mustache prayer. Boldly. In the midst of adversity, David was overcoming fear. How many know that the spirit of faith can begin to climb down on the inside of you figuratively? It's already there. Don't get too caught up and you understand what I'm saying? You're hearing, your strength, the faith that is in you is being strengthened. You're becoming emboldened. I love the word bold throughout Hebrews. You want to know something interesting? I got to find somewhere to tie this up because I could go for another 2 hours easy. You ready for that? Me either. Okay. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Where did I leave my phone? I won't do that. Somebody else can help me with it. You can look at it. I can't remember the name in Greek. I didn't write it down. You can look at it for yourself. They'll just grab a concordance and look at the word, what it means. I love these terms. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. We've danced around all around this morning. Here's what it says. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." You heard that anywhere this morning? "That is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." That's why Hebrews 11, 1 opens up with, "Now faith is the substance." That's the terminology of Hebrews. Why do you still worship the symbolism when you have the substance? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. He is that faith. The faith of Jesus now in us because we put our faith in him. That faith, okay? Here it is again. He says, let me back up. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest which has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our..." There is, once again, it's throughout Scripture, profession. This isn't, "What's your profession?" "Well, I'm a carpenter." No. This is the word homologio, which is confession, meaning to say, to open your mouth and say. It's a form of prophecy. Man, we got a bunch of weird stuff going around in this day and age with prophecy. I don't care how wild-eyed they look and how anointed they may seem, and how loud they yell, and how much you're moved in your emotions, if what they say over you doesn't line up with something God's already put in your heart, reject it. at least put it on a shelf and say, if it's true, it'll happen. But in the meantime, I'm going to grow right here where I'm at, steady Eddie, and grow in Jesus. The new covenant prophet has one purpose. He, she speaks the word of God for encouragement, for lifting. There is a warning, and it's not the Lord would say today that he's displeased with this congregation. You don't really love him in spirit and truth, and if you'll repent, that's not from God. That's completely outside of the confines of the new covenant. Rejected. It's nonsense. He's there to lift you, to speak the word of God. And many times, those, I've had people walk up to me and say, I don't know what this means to you, just ever so humbly, but I had a word drop in my heart for you. If it's the Lord, fine. If it's not, don't worry about it. I love that attitude. And when they started talking, I was blown away because I had been wrestling with something. It's like they read my mail and I was ready to dance because God confirmed there is the purpose of the new covenant prophet. He doesn't tell you what to do. I have the ultimate prophet living on the inside of me. King and priest and prophet, Jesus himself. And these prophets here under the new covenant simply confirmed by the Spirit of God something we already know. There's so much weird stuff. Keep it simple. Amen. Where in the world were we? Seeing then that we have a great high priest as he's passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our homologio, confession, to say the same thing. It's a beautiful form of prophecy. Just speak the word of God over your life. Say what he says about your body. Speak what his word. Say it boldly. Open your mouth. Faith is voice activated. We're going to get into that more next week. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, as we said earlier, tempted like as we, yet without sin. That's why he qualifies. Because of that, let us therefore come. If you can underline in your Bible, underline the word boldly. Boldly. Find a concordance and find out what that word says in the Greek. It means to speak with confidence. Did you know that? That word in the Greek means to speak. That's what was understood by the hearers, to speak with confidence. This blood that was shed, this new covenant that has been ratified through shed blood, this high priest who was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin, who qualified as the Savior of the world. John, who said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This Jesus, his blood shed, now declares that you and I, listen people, we can step into that place. Now you and I who are believers, I got news for you. When you confess Jesus as your Lord, you already stepped in there. You're in there. You live in there. We're not in and out, like we've been taught for years. When you receive Jesus, boom, by the blood, you now stand as a son of the Most High God, as a daughter of the Most High God. There's none of this in and out stuff. We now stand boldly because of the blood. But the word boldly means confidence, boldness to speak. It still goes back to we believe, therefore we speak. I want to encourage you today to begin to open your mouth in prayer with your spouse, in your pickup on the way to work. Find out what God's word says about you. You don't know very many scriptures. Take the ones you know, learn some more, and get a hold of them. Quit just thinking about, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Open up your mouth. Humble yourself before God and watch as he exalts you in the process of letting boldness, speaking audaciously about things that are impossible without God. Open your mouth and watch as God begins to turn something. It's not going to happen overnight. And I got to try to finish this up. Something I want you to know, we dealt with this a little bit last week. I said we deal with it more this week. We run out of time. I'm not going to do that to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's a lot of people that believe, well, if you get into faith, and this a lot has been taught, that just no more, if you really, really get into faith, there's not going to be any trouble. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he talks about being troubled on every side. And as I said last week, when you begin to first step out in faith, get ready, because the devil's going to try to knock that out of you. Are you with me? But you stand, you hold fast, as Hebrews says, hold fast your homologio, your profession of faith. Paul is one of those guys that could be shipwrecked, snake bit, beat in the head, left for dead, and he'd still stand up and say, but thanks be to God who gives me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This guy was amazing. And he said, we have the same spirit. He says, you have the same spirit. Religion has tried so hard to dumb down your boldness to stand. And the devil has whipped you into a corner, some of you, to where you're afraid to lift your head because every time you try, it seems like something happened. Rise above in Jesus' name. Stand tall and declare the word of God. Prophesy over your grandbabies. Prophesy over your children. Prophesy over your future. Stop talking about everything that you think is wrong with this church. Prophesy over it. Prophesy over me. Speak the word of God. Stand and deliver the goods. Anybody can complain, but it takes a Caleb. It takes a David. Are you here today? Huh. Here's Paul and Silas. Acts 12, I believe. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong so people know where to go. I don't have time to preach this. Paul and Silas get through casting the devil, bringing liberty into somebody's life. And as a result, there's an outcry. Short of the long is they wind up in prison, beaten, in stocks and in chains. There they are. Adversity. Because they stood and declared the word of God. How many ever met some adversity? We're not saying that faith means that everything's going to be a bed of roses. I'm telling you what, though. It's not all adversity. You'll rise out on the other side. There is a fight, and it's called the good fight. We're going to continue there next week. A good fight of faith that also in that verse speaks of our profession, homologio. It's there all over again throughout the word of God. I think the devil has tried through religiosity and through a lot of mean-spiritedness in the church to shut this theme down. And I guess I'm just crazy enough to say, come on, we're going to go back to the word and stir this puppy up. Let it come out of your mouth. Let it make a difference in your life. Grace empowered you to say some things so you could do some things for God. I heard somebody say years ago, there's three kinds of Christians. There are museum keepers, there's settlers, and there's pioneers. Those who want to dust off the books and talk about the good old days and the revivals of the 50s. There are settlers who camp. This is where we want to stay. We believe what we believe. We've built our fences. God can't move outside of this box. This is where we stay. But I'm speaking to a group of people in here that have the spirit of Caleb. They're saying, I got a pioneer spirit. I got greater place. I'm repeating myself from last week, but I want to charge you. I've got greater things to do, greater places to go. I want to make a difference in people's lives. I want to see my destiny in Christ fulfilled. Open your mouth and begin to speak the word of God. It's a perfect form of prophecy. Amen. They were bound. History tells us very possibly ankle plus deep in feces. Beaten, open wounds. Hands and feet bound, but they should have taped their mouth shut. For at midnight, the whole jail heard, "You are good and your mercy. I don't care what's going on right now. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me." And they sang and praised God. And suddenly, some of you need a suddenly in your life. Amen. It's been too long. But faith is voice activated. They should have taped their mouth shut. But let me tell you something. The devil can be all over top of you, but you've got a mouth. Open your mouth and begin to say some things. Begin to dictate some things. Romans 5:17, and with this I quit. Shame on you. Oh, you can't say that in a Grace Church. It says that death, read your Bible, Romans 5:17. That death reigned. Death had the rule. Death called the shot. Death dictated most things. Death reigned. I'm so glad there is a but in that verse. But for those who receive, not do, receive through belief. For those who receive the abundance of grace. You know what abundance is, don't you? Way more than necessary. Not just enough. An overpayment. Those who receive. How many can lift your hands wherever you're sitting all over this auditorium today? Reach out by faith. Open your mouth. Dare to say out loud. Some of us men, we're so proud. We will not say anything out loud in front of our wife. She's the spiritual one. I challenge you today. Open your mouth and say, "I by faith reign in life because I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness." Those who do this will reign. Where is the reigning in the camp of God? Where is the change from this new covenant where we begin to say, "Devil, you go here and there and do. You get out." Where is the voice that says, "God, I boldly with my mouth profess and proclaim. I invite you into this situation. It looks like my grandbaby is on drugs and believed a lie and everything's upside down in a third relationship and kids all over. But you're a liar and I'm standing and I'm telling you enough is enough. Take your hands off according to your word." In Isaiah 54, she will be established in righteousness and oppression will be far from her. Do you know the word? Do you know your God? Get to know him. He is good. Open your mouth. Faith is voice activated. Boldly means to boldly say. Woo! That's good news. That's good news. Hallelujah. They should have taped their mouth shut. But they didn't. And suddenly, there was an earthquake. All their bands were loosed. And you know what? They didn't say, "Man, we better get the heck out of Dodge while we got the opportunity." They hung around and still declared, "He is good." Can you stand all over the house this morning with me? Lift your hands one more time. Can you declare with me, "He is good for me personally, and his mercy endures forever." Father, all over this house, as we lift our hands, I thank you that faith is rising. Faith for the supernatural. Acts 10:38, how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Get your theology right. Recognize your enemy. Lay hold. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 6, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on this eternal life. Use your mouth and keep saying it. The spirit of faith. Father, I thank you that this stuff, right now, I'm going to do a little prophesying. How about that? All over this room. Right now, we just, come on, continue to worship all over this room, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you. It's moving from the noggin to the seat of the belief system. The hearts of people are reaching out by faith. Words that are bubbling under the surface cannot be held any longer through the week, as suddenly there's a volcanic eruption of you are good. What your word says about my body is that I was healed 2,000 years ago by the stripes of Jesus. I'm getting loud about it. I'm going to activate this. I'm a voice. Activate this thing. I'm claiming my family for the kingdom of God. I'm opening up my mouth and I'm speaking in Jesus' name. I thank you. I have a good heart. My bones are strong. My belly is full of health. That's your immune system. This is Proverbs speaking to you. He didn't mean that literally, but then you tell me how he meant it. He was speaking in literal terms. This is what the Word of God will do for you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for faith that is increasing. I thank you for a culture of faith that can rise. Oh, we got such a good group of people here. You only required two. We got a bunch here. So, Father, we reach out in Jesus' name. Lay hold with young Timothy of all that is ours, life eternal existing in us now. Father, teach us as we forge forward in Jesus' name. Right now, I boldly take together with my brothers and sisters who've been intimidated. Come on. Some of you need to reach out by faith. We're going to open up the altars as we dismiss. There'll be an opportunity for you to come up. Please don't leave if you're hurting, or if you're needing prayer, you're needing somebody. We're going to have people here that will pray with you. But right now, I want to pray for you. Those that have been intimidated and scared to reach out, right now, I join my faith. You and me, we're going to stand in agreement right now. Right now, I join my faith with them. Come on, reaching out all over the room. Father, today in Jesus' name, we defy the enemy. Satan, we defy your work. We bind and break your power off of their mind and off of their lives. Father, I thank you that today, for those that are reaching out, like the woman with the issue of blood, saying, I know that if I can. Thank you, Father, that in the Spirit, we're reaching out and grabbing a hold of who you are. We believe what you're saying, and we take hold. And Father, we thank you that those things are broken. Broken. Liberty is flooding in, deep calling to deep by the Spirit of God. If you believe that and receive it, kick your hands up high one more time. Let's thank him together. We thank you all over the house. Supernatural work of your Holy Spirit. How we love you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Well, you